And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Monday, December 6th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are brought to you by Yahoo Sports. It's going to be a good one. 10-game NBA slate here. Before we do anything, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. This is not an NFL show, but Adam, how was your NFL Sunday?
It was good. Got a surprise 100K win on the St. Brown touchdowns. That was a lot of fun. Had a Millie sweat. Didn't come close to winning it, really, but closest or biggest Millie sweat I've ever had. So that was fun. Made for an interesting afternoon.
Congrats. It was fun to see. And the Millie sweat was like legit late into the day. So I was starting to keep an eye on that one as well. It was a good Sunday all around, I think. No complaints here on my end. I'm excited to get back into basketball. This is not the most fun week for the NBA. 10 games today, 3 tomorrow, 13 on Thursday. I hate that nonsense to a very heavy degree, but we're going to break it down one way or the other. So we got 10 games to get through. We're starting a little late, so I'm ready to dive in if you are.
Yeah, let's go.
All righty. We do have a ton to talk about. I still have to open up my Crunch workbook, so I should have just done that and threw to you for another question. But we're going to start with the Philadelphia 76ers. Oh, we're starting with the most ridiculous one of the slate. Perfect. Philadelphia 76ers at the Charlotte Hornets. The Sixers are 6.5-point favorites in Charlotte. For Philly, you know, it's generally speaking business as usual. It's a little bit less so business as usual for Charlotte. So on the Philly side, it's a Q tag on Tobias Harris, and that's it. For Charlotte, we still have no LaMelo Ball, no Terry Rozier, no Mason Plumlee, and no Jalen McDaniels. Let's start for Philly, where we've got Joel Embiid, 20% owned on FanDuel, 16 on DraftKings, looking like the best option you're going to find here from Philly, and probably not much else here, barring Tobias Harris being ruled out.
Yeah, that's how I see it as well. And Harris impacts Embiid too. Like Embiid is obviously fine at 11K if Harris is in, but he certainly looks better if Harris is out. If Harris is in at 7,900, he looks okay. It's not a bad spot at all. Charlotte is one of the fastest teams in the league. They are not very good defensively. They are shorthanded. So Harris would look good if he's out. You know, that opens up value, most likely Niang starting again at 4,100. But assuming Harris is in, it's pretty much Embiid, Harris, and then I don't really see anything.
All righty. I will once again have a tiny amount of Tyrese Maxey at no ownership on FanDuel, where he continues to just be only 6,300, but nothing too crazy there. Let's deal with the actual problems for today. We're off to Charlotte, where Bridges, Oubre, Washington, Smith, and Martin are all 25 to 45% owned. For some strange reason, Ish Smith is 3,400 on DraftKings today. Terrible. Cody Martin is 3,900 today. Ridiculous. Let's just talk through it right now. Ish Smith should be in every cash lineup and will be the most owned play today, basically no matter what happens.
Yeah, the only thing that stops that is if he's rested on the second half of a back-to-back, which I don't anticipate happening. DraftKings completely broke their pricing. Yesterday, they had Smith at 4,800. They had Martin at 4,900. And it actually caught me off guard because like, I was kind of not paying attention. I wasn't paying a ton of attention. I just, you know, did my projections and made my lineups. And I was like, yeah, okay, I have a ton of Ish Smith. That makes sense. I didn't even realize. And then, like, once the slate started, I was like, oh, wow, he was 4,800. Like, because he started out slow, and I was like, oh, wow, he actually needs to like kind of do well here. And then they just drop him back to 3,400. I have no idea how that happened, but it just, I mean, it's a completely broken spot. It's not even like an interesting, oh, he's going to be popular. Maybe I can find alternatives. I mean, it is a big slate, but still like 3,400 for someone that's likely to play 32 minutes. And that isn't a bad fantasy producer when he's on the floor. Smith is at 0.81 DraftKings points per minute this year. He's a competent NBA player. It's not like he's some random dude being thrown in to a bigger role. So just really sucks. Cody Martin, 3,900, same kind of thing. Came off the bench yesterday, played 32 minutes. He was really fun in tournaments yesterday because he was only 5% owned at 4,900. 3,900 today, he's going to be very popular as well, as he should be. The rest of these guys at least didn't really decrease in salary, but they didn't go up either. So Kelly Oubre still looks really good. Miles Bridges still looks great. PJ Washington still looks great. The only one that doesn't look amazing out of this group is Gordon Hayward. And he still certainly has a path to plenty of fantasy points.
This just makes – when I started the process show up, people were like, well, who's the pivot off of Ish Smith for tonight? I was like, nobody. This is different.
Like, yeah, exactly.
There isn't one. You're pivoting somewhere else. Like, that's not to say that you just lock button Ish Smith in like 150 max of GPPs. It's probably pretty, you know, probably would be pretty close from you one way or the other, but this isn't the time where you try to get cute and be on the opposite side of it, because there's no real downside. His bust is injury or something,
right? Like, and it's, I mention it a lot when guys like Ish Smith get to like 5,500 where they're underpriced still, but
yeah,
the thing when you think about pivots, a lot of times it's like in Ish Smith's case, if the whole field is playing Ish Smith at 3,400, they just have, like, you can't really get away from that price tag easily because they're just going to have an advantage over you, especially on a slate this big. You're basically saying like, okay, well, I'll just play against you with less salary cap, and I think that's going to go well for me. It's probably not. And so when these guys get to like 5,500 and they're still really popular because they're a little underpriced, pivoting becomes really appealing because there's just naturally going to be a bunch of guys in that price range that can still go score 35 or 40 fantasy points, even if they are a little bit less likely than Smith. At 3,400, those people just don't exist. There are not $3,400 players that have 30 to 35 point, you know, median outcomes, median projections, and the potential to go for more than that, or they wouldn't.
I mean, like 40 is an easy day for him if he plays 36 minutes.
Right.
Like, that's it's, like a 55th percentile, 55th, 60th percentile outcome for him.
Right, exactly. So it's just, there's nothing, there's going to just be nothing around him that is really comparable outside of him getting hurt or in foul trouble or benched or something, which just isn't going to happen that high a percentage of the time. There's not going to be guys around him that you can say, oh yeah, I think they're going to play similar minutes, maybe produce a little bit less on average, but still have the ability to just outperform. That just doesn't exist.
No, it's insane. So on FanDuel, it's a little bit different. He's 4,500. He's still the best play from Charlotte on FanDuel. He's still one of the best plays on the slate. But, you know, pricing's just a little bit different there. You mentioned the Gordon Hayward. He's probably like the most appropriately priced out of all of these guys. From a cash perspective, you expect probably like three at a minimum, maybe four in like most builds you're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't built a lineup yet, so I don't, like, nobody should take this as gospel. But
yeah,
I would assume it's at least three, if not four.
I had three in my first two, and then four were in my third most optimal lineup. But, I mean, Ish is obviously there. It's going to be hard for Cody Martin to not be there, just price and position combined. After that, P.J. Washington, Miles Bridges is like the more – or P.J. Washington, Kelly Oubre is like the most likely combo. Let's talk through this center rotation, though, because I think it's kind of important here. This is different when you face Philly than it is when you're facing some other teams. They've been giving Nick Richards the Keith Bogans, where he's playing like 5 minutes at the beginning of the first and third quarters, and that's it. Do you think they do something different here against Philly? Or does this matchup make you any more nervous for PJ Washington?
Not really. So, okay. I mean, there's obviously like foul risk with Embiid, but the reason I don't think they do anything different is, what difference is it going to make? Like, if you put PJ Washington out there, at least you have a better chance offensively. Yeah. If you put Nick Richards out there, he's still just going to get murdered by Joel Embiid, and you're going to have a worse offense. If you put JT Thor out there, whatever that is, I'm pretty confident that Joel Embiid's going to have his way with him too. So yeah. I don't think that there's some, there's not, you know, like Cody Zeller, Mason Plumlee aren't just like sitting on the bench, not really in the rotation, you know. Zeller obviously not on the team anymore, but was before Plumlee. Sure. You know, they're not, it's not like they're just sitting there like, oh yeah, these guys are old, we're kind of just phasing them out except for when we need them. There's nothing behind PJ Washington that is going to succeed against Embiid anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah, I'm not sure here. Are you at all nervous about his foul trouble potential here?
Like, sure,
but where are you going? Where do you want to go from a minutes perspective here? Because I thought there was a really interesting discussion of what you want to do, particularly because he doesn't start.
32-ish. Okay. So that's what I did yesterday. And then he played 38, which makes me think maybe I should have gone like 34. But okay. I do think that having Washington, so I think Washington plays a lot of minutes. I think Martin plays a lot of minutes. I'm still going to project them for fewer minutes than Hayward, Smith, or at least Hayward, Oubre, Bridges. Smith will probably be around 32 to 34 as well.
Okay. Yeah. I went to 33 on Washington, and that felt about right to me, 30 on Cody Martin. So I think we're on the same sort of page here.
Yeah. Cause it does, you know, just because I think PJ Washington's still going to play a ton of minutes doesn't mean I'm going to be right. Like, they can give Nick Richards an extra rotation and you've gotten him down to, you know, 33 minutes. He could get in foul trouble and lose 5 minutes. So I think even if you assume that the plan going in is something similar to yesterday, there's still just enough volatility here in things that could impact that a little bit that I definitely don't want to be projecting like 37 minutes for Washington or anything.
Circling sort of backwards, does it make you like Embiid more?
I mean, I love Embiid regardless.
Yeah.
He should just
absolutely eviscerate this team. But my thought process on the process show was just like, they're going to send constant doubles and this is going to become a perimeter shooting game.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also you have Jokic on the slate. You have Giannis, we assume you have Curry.
Yeah.
So it's not the easiest slate to get to him.
For sure. Any specific rules you'd be trying to set here for Charlotte? I don't necessarily think I have one. It's just like those six guys and nobody else for this team.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I see it as well. Yeah, I mean, Book Knight barely played yesterday, so I doubt that I'm not even going to get him to enough minutes to end up in lineup. So
that's also wild, by the way.
That he didn't play more.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I for sure thought he was going to play more.
If you're going to lose LaMelo Ball and Terry Rozier, like two high usage creator type guys, go to the guy you just drafted as the high usage creator type guy. And if he's still not getting out on the floor, how bad does he look behind the scenes for them?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I actually thought I ended up not getting the much of him yesterday because it just was totally unnecessary. Nice. But going in, I actually thought he might be one of the bigger edges on the slate where it was just like everybody was projecting him for like 12 minutes. And I was like, man, he could play 20. At 3K.
I mean, I don't think it would have been all that crazy for him to play like 28 and for Ish to not get the minutes before heading into this, where it's just like, okay, Gordon Hayward is now our point forward.
Yeah. I mean, I expected Ish to start, but I thought that,
sure.
I thought you could just see like Thor not play and Book Knight play 18, 20 minutes. I mean, I ended up not needing it anyway, but it was one spot where I was just like, oh yeah, everyone could definitely look back at this game and be like, wow, we missed on Book Knight. And No, it was me. I went 15 minutes too high.
It's crazy. Yeah, I don't have anything else to say here other than you're going to be playing a lot of Bridges, Oubre, Hayward, Washington, Smith, and Martin in some order with most of those guys showing up in the same lineups.
Yeah, and there's no reason to set any rules within those guys.
I mean, no, Ish's price and Cody Martin's price break that, so like the rules don't matter. Whether Cody Martin closes or not is irrelevant. It's 3,900.
Right. And like I was going to say, the only other guy outside of those six that we talked about that I could see maybe like somehow getting there would be Richards if he does play more minutes. But I don't even think that's really worth taking a shot on because it's a big slate. It's the center position. It's very unlikely he plays enough minutes to matter. So it's kind of like, yeah, there's the potential that, you know, he gets actual run. And at the end of the night, you're like, damn, I missed out on a starting center at 3K. But I just think that's a really, really low probability.
All righty. Anything else in this game?
No. Should be a lot of fantasy points.
All right. Yes, there should. Oklahoma City at Detroit. The Thunder are 4.5-point dogs, 206 total. For OKC, they're getting a lot of people back. Everybody but Shea, basically. So Josh Giddey is back. Kenrich Williams is back. Derek Favors is back. Aaron Wiggins is in the G League now, but no Shea. On the Detroit side, a lot of news as well. Doubtful tag on Corey Joseph. We know that there's no Kelly Olynyk, but also no Hamidou Diallo. So we're going to work our way through that. We'll start on Oklahoma City. Josh Giddey goes right back to his role of being heavily owned, 35% owned on FanDuel at 6,200. Close to 25% on DraftKings, shooting guard, small forward, 6,800. But we're also getting Lu Dort pretty heavily owned at a $5,400 price tag. Darius Bazley at 4K on DraftKings is in the teens. You guys could have that one. Thank God I don't play there. Trey Mann is around 10% at 3,700 on DraftKings. He's $1,000 more expensive on FanDuel. I mean, Giddey is the clear best option here, but I want to know what else you like for the Thunder.
Yeah, Giddey for sure. 1.11 DraftKings points per minute without Gildas Alexander this year. He's got a 21.5% usage rate, 38.9% assist percentage. He rebounds well also. So Giddey looks really good. Plus, you know, still has small forward eligibility for whatever reason. Lu Dort is fine. We know that his usage rate goes up without Gildas Alexander. He's at, for the season, he's at 25.2%. Still only 0.81 DraftKings points per minute because he's not a very efficient shooter. 49.4% true shooting percentage in these 153 minutes, but the opportunities go up for him. He's still pretty cheap. He's likely to play a lot of minutes. Trey Mann's at 0.89 DraftKings points per minute. I don't know how many of those minutes, I'm looking now, how many of those minutes were with Giddey. but he's only played 45 minutes with Giddey and without Gilgeous Alexander, but he's still been pretty productive over that small sample, 25% usage rate. So Mann has, you know, really struggled when we've played him recently, but at 3,700, there is still some value there. He's likely to get a bunch of minutes. He should be more productive without SGA than he would have been, or than he was when Giddey was out. So he looks like a good value. Robinson, Earl, and Baisley are fine on DraftKings, but I think it's Giddey number one, Dorton, Mann two and three in really either order. Baisley, Robinson, Earl four and five in really either order.
This Baisley experiment needs to end soon for this team. They need to cut bait. He ain't the guy. We're missing anything here. I mean, we saw Ty Jerome be the guy that got the massive minutes this last time out. I don't get the sense that he's going to be falling to 35 again here. I have him back down to 16 and uninteresting, but are you looking at any of these other guys for Oklahoma City?
I don't think so. Not with guys coming back. If we get a weird starting lineup, then my opinion will change. But as is on a slate this size, I don't think you really need to get there. With Trey Mann, and I'm not saying I think he is nearly as good a play as Ish Smith, but he is, at least if you are just for whatever reason dead set on not playing Ish Smith, he is at least someone in that price range that could beat Ish Smith.
There we go. On to the Detroit side. Again, no Corey Joseph, or not likely to see Corey Joseph in this one. A lot of ownership coming in. Depending on which site you're on, it's either all like heavy or flat. Jeremy Grant, Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, and Isaiah Stewart are all basically like 20 to 30% owned on FanDuel. Grant, the lowest of those. Cunningham, Bey, and Stewart, all about 27%. On DraftKings, it's just a little bit lighter. It's like 15, 16, somewhere in that neighborhood. A little bit lighter on Stewart because he's center only. I am not surprised that these guys are getting that sort of ownership and the prices aren't all that bad, but if I'm going to be getting away from any sort of ownership, this is probably the first place that I'm going to be doing it. I think that Cade Cunningham is probably my favorite option from the FanDuel perspective. Sadiq Bey is now 4,800 on FanDuel. That's how bad he's been this season. Talk me through Detroit here, because I'm having trouble wanting to match this ownership.
Yeah, the ownership kind of just seems to be like where it should be, if not a little bit high. Like, I just don't think there's a huge edge to getting to Sadiq Bey at 18% or Grant at 17 or Cunningham at 13. They all obviously have the potential to do well here. It is a good matchup. I think on DraftKings, I probably get to Cunningham first since he's the lowest owned of the three, but it's a good spot. The prices are reasonable. They just don't really stand out as far as like somebody I expect to be going crazy with. I do think that going to the cheap guys as potentially low owned value could make some sense here, because assuming Joseph's not going to play, then there are minutes there and we don't know exactly how it's going to look, but Diallo is also out. So we've seen some games where Frank Jackson's closing recently. We've seen, you know, a little bit of increased run for him. He is only pulling about 2.5% ownership at 3,600 on DraftKings. Sabin Lee hasn't been in the rotation, but he's 3K flat and not a bad fantasy producer when he gets minutes. It's not too difficult to see how, in a game between the Oklahoma City Thunder and Detroit Pistons, that something kind of just goes weird and you get, you know, a few extra minutes for Frank Jackson or Sabin Lee at really cheap prices. So as long as the ownership stays really low, I am very interested in just mixing those guys in. If it gets, you know, if we get closer to lock and it's like, oh, they're, you know, 10% owned, then yeah, I'll go somewhere else. But I do think the cheap guys here and just hoping basically to get lucky on minutes makes some sense.
I wouldn't even think it's crazy to hit on Josh Jackson, who's basically been out of the rotation for this team. But if you're taking out Diallo too, I don't know if it, like, clearly Frank Jackson is the first guy up for me, but without Diallo, now I wonder if Josh Jackson sees himself getting back into like close to 20 minutes, because they don't have many other bodies that are functional enough, but I think they might just hate him.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's my concern, is that it seems like they've kind of just booted him from the rotation. Like, he certainly could pick up a bunch of minutes, but based on the rotations, I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think that it's likely you see Frank Jackson play a bit more, and then you see Sabin Lee take Joseph's minutes. But it's not like Lee's been in the rotation. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising if Josh Jackson just takes those 20 minutes, but that's not my best guess.
The last two games that Killian Hayes was out before coming back for this past three, Josh Jackson averaged basically 20 minutes in both of those. Sabin Lee, 20 minutes in one, 29 in the other. So there's enough minutes there now that we're taking Corey Joseph out of it too. We'll see where we end up, but like, there are worse situations than hoping that Frank Jackson plays 30 minutes today. That's for sure.
Yeah, and also I don't. This isn't really a spot where I'm likely to just pick one guy and say, you know, oh, I'm very confident that Frank Jackson is the guy. I think it's more. I just have like not a lot of exposure, but more than the field is currently projected for to all of these cheap guys, not together.
And I probably have a lot less than whatever the field is doing for the rest of the guys that are getting it. I don't think that I'm going to be getting to 18% Jeremy Grant, 28% Cade, 26% Sadiq Bey, 28% Isaiah Stewart across FanDuel.
Yeah, on DraftKings, I think I probably end up around the field just because it is a good spot.
Okay. Anything else here?
I'm never upset about getting the Cade.
Yeah, same. Same. Anything else here?
No.
Schedule.
Revenge game for Jeremy Grant, I think.
Yes, revenge game for Jeremy Grant, indeed. Somebody in my chat was just like, revenge game for Hamadou Diallo. I was like, best of luck with that one. Because he's out. 11:30 a.m. So right after this show ends, NFL recap show. Adam will be sticking around for that one and probably pretty happy to recap his successful early slate lineup if he can. The 1 p.m. Awesome-O betting show. We've got the 2 o'clock NHL strategy show. But that's not the only show we've got at 2 o'clock. On our fantasy football channel, you can watch the Awesome-O Fantasy Football Show as well. We've got the Yahoo NFL show at 3 today. We've got the NBA pre-show at 4:15, leading into Adam and the NBA deeper dive at 4:45. We've got NBA Live Before Lock with me and Greg at 6, and then NFL Live Before Lock at 7:15. Our NBA player projections are free, so if you're watching this show, that must sound pretty good to you. Head to osmo.com to check out our projections for the day. NFL single game rankings and NHL player projections are free as well. And for the 370 of you that are in here right now, don't be afraid to hit that like button. Your Washington Wizards, 5.5-point dogs at Indiana, 212.5 total. No Spencer Dinwiddie here in this one, just out for general rest on the back-to-back. For Indiana, same as we've had, no TJ Warren, no Justin Holiday, no TJ McConnell. For the Wizards, no one is owned more than 10% on either site. Montrezl Harrell gets about 10 on both. We get Beal and Kuzma just shy of 10 on DraftKings. I kind of like Kuzma a little bit at 6,300 on FanDuel at no ownership, but to me, there are no priorities on the Wizards.
No, I mean, Dinwiddie being out does open things up a little bit, but they're still relatively expensive. Beal without Dinwiddie this season has played 3 total games, 1.28 DraftKings points per minute, 30.6% usage rate, 29.4% assist percentage. The thing that's interesting there, though, is that I think so the usage isn't really higher. The assist percentage isn't drastically higher. It's probably just a case if he has happened to shoot better in those games. So I think that Beal is a good option here at 8,800. I think he certainly has a high ceiling, but I also think that you should be careful looking at those 3 games and saying, you know, oh, Beal's a lot better without Dinwiddie, because I think it's kind of just confirmation bias where I think it's likely that, or I thought it was likely that Beal would see an increased role without Dinwiddie, but really he's been pretty similar in terms of usage, in terms of opportunities. He's just produced better. Yeah. So unless you think Dinwiddie's physical presence on the court is keeping Bradley Beal from making his shots, there's not a whole lot of reason to necessarily think, based on what we've seen, that Beal is drastically better today than in the past. So 8,800, you know, falling price tag is pretty appealing, but seems like the ownership is pretty much there. Same can be said for Kuzma at 6K. He's fine, but doesn't really stand out.
Yeah, I don't really have too much here. We saw Harrell get 29 minutes this last time out, Gafford 15. It's not really changing anything that I'm doing right now, but
it was fouls for Gafford. I think it's more of the same. Just on average, you can go like 24 minutes a piece, but they are getting cheap enough where as long as they're not getting much ownership, right now, Harrell's at 9%, Gafford's at 3. I'm interested in tournaments, but it's just still difficult to prioritize them since the floor is so low.
On the Indy side, a lot of ownership here coming in once again on FanDuel and even quite a bit on DraftKings too. Miles Turner is about 20% owned across both sites. He's got a really nice price on DK, but just center eligible. And we know how many centers we have. Only other guy in double digits and ownership on DK is Chris Duarte. Then we get into 18% owned Domantas Sabonis on FanDuel, where he is power forward center and $8,300, $1,700 cheaper than the 10K price tag he has on DraftKings. Brogdon is $7,700, $1,000 cheaper than he is on DraftKings. My man, Caris LeVert, who actually went out there and had a real game his last time out, 31% owned, 5,100 shooting guard and small forward eligible. So it's kind of a different story across both sites, but I certainly like Sabonis, Brogdon, Duarte, LeVert, and Turner on FanDuel, with LeVert being the clear, to me, best option. Sabonis's price is great. Brogdon's price is great. I'm going to get to a lot of the Pacers. How are you handling them on DK?
Yeah, I mean, the pricing is not quite as favorable, but I still think they look good here. You can just expect so many minutes out of these guys, especially with Holiday and McConnell still sidelined. In the last game, you got 37 and a half minutes from LeVert. You got 36 and a half minutes from Duarte, 37 from Sabonis in a game where he missed the start of the game for personal reasons. Brogdon played 38 and a half minutes. Turner played 34.3. He also lost the last like 4 minutes and change of the first half. It was only his first foul, so I don't know if that was the reason or not, but he subbed out a few, like 30 seconds after it. So I don't really know what that was about, but potentially could have gotten even more minutes from Turner. So the pricing's not as easy on DraftKings, but still a lot of upside here. Brogdon likely to play 37 to 38 minutes. He's over a fantasy point per minute guy. LeVert is around 0.9 fantasy points per minute this year in the games that he's played with Sabonis and Brogdon. But if he's going to play 34 plus minutes, he still looks good. Duarte is not particularly productive when he's playing with LeVert, Brogdon, and Sabonis, but 4,700 for 36 minutes is always going to carry some value. Turner, if you can get there, clearly has a high ceiling. Sabonis, much better on FanDuel, but playable on DraftKings as well.
Yeah, it's a good time to be grabbing dudes from Indy.
If you're going to the bench, I think Brissett is probably the most interesting at 3K. He played 21 minutes last game. We know he's a solid fantasy producer, but he's still risky. There's just a lot of different ways that can go.
Yep. I don't have anything else here. It's just play a lot of the Indy starters.
Yep.
Memphis at Miami. The Grizzlies are 5-point dogs, 215 and a half total. On the Memphis side, we still have no Ja Morant. We have no Kyle Anderson. Brandon Clark is doubtful. Zaire Williams is questionable. For Miami, Q tag on Butler, and obviously no Bam, no Markieff Morris. Which means we start on the Memphis side. For Memphis, Dylan Brooks is 18% owned on FanDuel at 5,900, 9% owned on DraftKings. Jaren Jackson Jr. is 20% owned on FanDuel at 7,100. He's been exceptional this season, 12% owned on DraftKings. We're getting a little bit of love to Tyus Jones, not all that much love to Desmond Bain, even on FanDuel where he's 5,800. I like Brooks. I like Jackson. I understand why that ownership is coming in. I don't see myself getting over the field here. But this feels like a pretty good spot. And if Zaire Williams is out, I think we start seeing a little bit more value open up as well.
I'm really getting tired of just saying, like, I like all the starters, but it's kind of where it's at. Like, none of them really stand out. Again, Tyus Jones is the most favorably priced on DraftKings, probably at 5,600. But there's, you know, just a lot of competition at point guard, and he's point guard only. Jaren Jackson looks very good at 7,200. He's, like you said, he's been playing really well. He was disappointing last game against Dallas. I actually had a ton of him. I think he had like 10 and a half DraftKings points in the first 3 minutes of the game. And then with 3 minutes to go, he had like 20. So it was a pretty disappointing effort, but still played around 30 minutes. At times we've seen more than that recently as well. So he dealt with some foul trouble late in that game, picked up 3 fouls in the fourth quarter, which got him up to number 5. He subbed out and then came back later. So potentially, had he been able to avoid the fouls, would have played 34 minutes again. Dylan Brooks, we know, go out there and shoot. Desmond Bain's been very good this year. His salary's come up a bit. Melton off the bench is kind of interesting. 4,700 for just a good player. There's certainly a chance he ends up in the closing lineup over any one of a number of guys. So 4,700 for him, as long as he's low owned, makes some sense. Steven Adams is still cheap at 4,800. I'm not going out of my way to get there, but you can, again, just kind of make a case for all six guys here. You mentioned if Williams is out, the bench piece is becoming a little bit more appealing, and they do. The one thing that I would caution, though, is that we just haven't really seen consistency from Memphis with what they're doing with that second unit. A couple of games ago, even when Brandon Clark was in, you had Aldama get on the floor before Clark. And then in the next game, when Kyle Anderson was out, was the game that Aldama had a really big game. And then last game, Contra was the first one off the bench. Aldama only played 12 minutes with Kyle Anderson out again and with Clark out. So it's just been kind of difficult to predict exactly how it goes. Tillman played 20 minutes there. Tillman's not a bad fantasy producer. Aldama's not a bad fantasy producer. Contra is not great. So it's kind of just like there's a ceiling if Tillman plays 20 minutes or if Aldama gets back to playing 20 minutes. But if it's like Contra, you know, logging the minutes, and then Killian Tilly playing 10 minutes to kind of just make everybody look worse, then there still ends up not really being that much appeal.
Cantor's mad at me because I said that Jaren Jackson Jr. has been better than Ja this season.
I don't know the answer to that.
I knew you wouldn't. So they wanted me to tell you, but I knew that that was not going to be anything that you were adding to. So I told you anyway. Do you know what his block rate is this year?
Probably not as good as Mo Bamba's.
It is the nicest block rate you could have.
Really?
6.9%.
Okay. I was thinking per 100. He's at 3.6 per 100, which is about the same as Bamba.
Yeah. He's blocking everything. But yeah, 6.9% is quite nice.
Turner is the one I should have gone with there. 4.7 blocks per 100.
Yeah. I mean, what is his percentage? Turner's, 8.3 on Turner. Wild. On to Miami, where we have to have a pretty big conversation here. If Jimmy Butler plays, and based on our ownership, we're assuming that he is 20% owned on FanDuel, 6% owned on DraftKings, 8,800 on FanDuel, shooting guard, small forward, 9,400 on DraftKings, just small forward. Based on that ownership, I think Jimmy Butler is my favorite play of the slate. At 8,800 in a pace-up spot against Memphis with no Bam Adebayo on the floor, I think Jimmy Butler is massively under-owned here, especially with at a sub-9K price tag. This dude has a massive usage rate when there's no Bam Adebayo out there. Really big assist rate bump as well. I love getting to Butler if he's able to play here. Lowry is fine. Hero's fine. Deadman, we're going to have probably a little bit of a conversation on how many minutes we want to give him. But let's start with Jimmy Butler. If he is in, what do you think?
I think he looks really good. I assume the ownership comes up if he is ruled in, the ownership projection, just because it seems like a lot of times when guys have legit Q tags, we kind of like have their ownership, at least early in the day. So I like him regardless. If he's low owned, I obviously like him more. He's played 224 minutes without Butler this year, or without Bam this year, 1.46 DraftKings points per minute, 33% usage rate is up about 4 points from his season average, 32% assist percentage. If you go back to last year, he's played 916 minutes without Adebayo, 1.5 DraftKings points per minute, 31% usage, 40.6% assist percentage, just fantastic numbers for Butler. So if he's in, and you know, assuming he's not going to be limited, I think he looks great, and the lower the ownership, the better. Lowry, if Butler is in, Lowry and Hero look fine. They don't look great. If Butler is out, they both, once again, look very, very good.
All right, let's talk through Deadman, because I think it has to happen. We saw him absolutely smash in that first game without Bam. Went 31 minutes. These last two, 22.5, 24. I think like 28 minutes is sort of the expectation of Deadman just on a day-to-day basis. Hard to say that he's ever going to be like a lock for 30. I don't think 24 is even remotely close to what you should expect either. That's to me, that's his floor. So I'm going 28 minutes, at which point on FanDuel at 5,900 and just center, I don't really care. He is what he is. 5K on DraftKings though, at under 5% ownership, I got some interest in Deadman.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. He's started 6 games now. He's averaged 24.8 minutes per game, but that's including the 17 he played in that first game where he was in a ton of foul trouble. We've seen, you know, we saw that. We've seen him lose minutes in blowouts. He's averaging 26.5 minutes per game, and if you just throw away that first game that really wasn't representative of anything, I think I'm with you. 28 is what I've been using for him as well. There's games that, you know, in competitive games where he's playing well, he can get 30 minutes. In other games, you know, he'll get 25, 26. I think 28's pretty much where I will be as well. And yeah, 5K on DraftKings, that is going to look pretty good. He's around the fantasy point per minute guy. He's only getting 4% ownership right now, which is good. You know, obviously there's a very high opportunity cost, so it's not as simple as saying, you know, oh, Deadman's underpriced, because you have to compare him to so many very, very good options at the position. But with him not getting much ownership, he looks like a pretty good option.
All right. Anything else here for Miami?
No.
Does anybody that we haven't talked about become more interesting if Butler doesn't play?
Yeah. I mean, Hero and Lowry look better. Duncan Robinson doesn't get any sort of real bump, but at 4,300, he is at least more likely to play a few more minutes, but yeah. It's Lowry and Hero that would really stand out. You know, I mentioned Butler's numbers without Bam this year. If you take Butler off the floor, in addition to Bam, Hero's at 240 minutes, 1.08 DraftKings points per minute, 31% usage rate. Lowry is at 1.02 DraftKings points per minute, only a 21% usage rate, but a 38.5% assist percentage. You would get more minutes potentially for guys like Vincent and Caleb Martin as well, but they're all priced up a little bit now.
On to the Denver Nuggets at the Chicago Bulls. Nuggets are 4.5-point dogs, 215 total in this one for Denver. No Bones Highland, no Jamal Murray, no Austin Rivers, no Bol Bol, no PJ Dozier, no Michael Porter. That's really getting not fun to read off for Denver. Just kind of the bummer in general. No Javonte Green, no Kobe White for Chicago. Obviously, Patrick Williams out for a while, and a doubtful tag on Alex Caruso. So as we start on Denver, I think it's kind of just like Jokic and nobody else. 10-9 for Jokic on FanDuel, 12K on DraftKings. I mean, he's appropriately priced on DraftKings. I like him quite a bit on FanDuel at 10-9 at 14% ownership. I've been getting to a lot of Jokic just in general on these days. And if he's going to be 14% owned, I know that I'm going to have more. That just seems like a really easy place to pay up when he's 1A, 1B as the best fantasy performers in the league. But after that, I mean, the rest of these guys just seem to be like either appropriately priced or overpriced.
Yeah, that's how I see it too. You know, Jokic is priced about where he should be, but there's no shortage of value on the slate. You know, obviously you have the Charlotte guys, but even from several of the other teams we've talked about so far, there's guys where you're not really confident in them, but it's like, oh, this guy's 3K, that guy's 3K, that guy's 3,600. When you start naming that many players that are legit rotation pieces and are essentially minimum salary, it just becomes a case of one or two of them are going to have big games. That's, you know, just kind of how it works. Whether or not it happens to be one in your lineup is a different story, but it just means that from a roster construction standpoint, it's going to be really, really easy to get to these top tier guys. Jokic has averaged 1.85 DraftKings points per minute without Porter on the floor this season. It's over 330 minutes, 34% usage, 25% rebounding percentage, 37% assist percentage, just unbelievably good production. This is likely to be a competitive game. I think it's likely you get 34, 35 minutes from Jokic. So he looks really, really good if you can get to him. The rest of the team, though, they just lose production because Jokic does so much when he's out there. And salaries have come up on these guys as a result of Jokic being out. So I don't really see much else. You did get a ton of minutes from Zeke Nnaji last time out, played 33.7 minutes. That was aided by the fact that Aaron Gordon was in foul trouble to start the second half. He picked up his fourth foul like a minute and 7 seconds into the third quarter. So Nnaji ended up playing almost the entire fourth, but his rotation in general was actually pretty appealing because him and Campazzo were the first two off the bench. He came in behind Jeff Green. He played about 10 and a half. He played about 12 to 13 minutes in the first half anyway. So if you can find a path to like 24 minutes for Nnaji at 3,800. That's another guy that, you know, he's not safe, but he does certainly give you a ceiling.
I think that's reasonable. Devon Reed saw himself get 24 minutes. Didn't know who that was. Had to add him to my sheet. Took the minutes that I was basically giving to Marcus Howard. So finished that one off pretty easily. Then we get out of Denver. We go to Chicago. I thought this was going to look so different with like no Javonte Green and no Caruso. And like, I just thought we were going to have a bunch of minutes to go around. And then nobody really looked all that interesting. We've got DeMar DeRozan projected for 15% ownership on FanDuel. We've got Derek Jones Jr. projected for 11% ownership on DraftKings at 3,600. That is going to be an interesting talking point. Nobody else is in double digits. And I don't really see a single priority from Chicago, even given those two ownership numbers.
Yeah, that you know, makes sense to me. It's not a great spot. Denver is not bad defensively. They play slow. Everyone is pretty expensive on DraftKings, the main guys, at least Vooch, Levine, DeRozan, Ball, all priced where they should be. It's not like Alex Caruso being out is doing anything to benefit those guys. He's not a high usage guy anyway. So they all look pretty overpriced to me on DraftKings. You can always get to those guys in tournaments just to be contrarian, but, there's, you know, nothing really standing out there. I think the most interesting pieces are the value pieces. Derek Jones at 3,600, Dosunmu at 3,100, last game, you got Derek Jones starting the second half after Caruso left early. He ended up playing a lot. He played about 19 to 20 minutes in the second half. I don't necessarily think you get that much run here. Like, you could see more from Troy Brown. You could see Tony Bradley, you know, get into the rotation. He did play in the second half last game, but I do think it's likely that you get 30 plus minutes from Derek Jones still at 3,600. That's not a bad value option for the season. He's at 0.83 DraftKings points per minute. Dosunmu is more difficult. He's at 0.66 DraftKings points per minute. If he doesn't start, I think the playing time is a little bit more volatile. He played about 13 minutes in the second half. Like, if you get 26 minutes from him and he produces at an average rate, it's reasonable point per dollar production, but it's unlikely to really help you win anything. Whereas if you get 30 to 32 minutes from Jones and he produces at an average rate, he's going to look a little bit better.
Yeah. I think Jones is going to look really bad for every single additional minute he's playing alongside of all of these starters. Like, he's not going to touch the ball with DeRozan, LaVine, Vooch out there.
He doesn't really.
I know that doesn't really matter, but like, it's certainly not going to help.
No, yeah, for sure. But he's like, I'm less hesitant about like median production stats. Like, I don't think Jones has a really high ceiling. What I'm trying to, like, when you move a high usage guy off the bench into the starting lineup, I become more concerned about their production because they're not going to get that usage. They still have a really high ceiling because, if for whatever reason they just still find a way to go out there and gun, then they're going to look really good. Derek Jones, we can be confident, isn't going to do that. But he produces 0.83 fantasy points per minute without shooting the ball anyway. So I kind of don't feel that concerned. You know, he gets a lot of defensive stats. He's averaging 2.7 blocks per 100. He's averaging 1.5 steals per 100. He has a 10.8% rebounding percentage this year. So he just does enough in the way of peripherals that I'm not overly concerned about a huge drop-off. I agree, he obviously isn't going to produce better playing along those guys.
Yeah, I gave him 30 minutes. I don't think that I can comfortably give him more unless he's starting. If he doesn't start,
I'm expecting him to start, but yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Feels like it's easier to go to Dosunmu to start, but I don't know.
I don't know. They went Jones last game, and I don't remember what they had done the game before, but Caruso was questionable.
They went Jones to start the second half.
Yeah, yeah, after Caruso was out.
Yeah.
But they had, Caruso was questionable last game, and so I don't have two games ago in front of me, but I know that I had expected that if Caruso was out, it would be Jones. So whatever they did two games ago made me think it was Jones. And then last game they went to Jones. So I'm assuming it's Jones.
I honestly, like, jokes aside, I honestly wouldn't even be surprised if it were Troy Brown today.
It could be. I expect it to be Jones. I think you get a little bit more run for Dosunmu. I think Alize Johnson is probably in the rotation. I think Tony Bradley could be in the rotation.
I went to Bradley more than I went to Alize Johnson because of Jokic.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me.
Because Alize Johnson's like 6'7" or something stupid.
Yeah.
Then Jokic will eat him.
Yeah. Not that I expect Tony Bradley to do much either, but
I think the long and short of this one is that, like, no matter what, like, even no matter what we think of Derek Jones right now, he's like a solid enough value play, but it's not like it's like anything we saw for Charlotte. You know, like, he's not, it's very easy to not have Derek Jones.
For sure. He's not, I'm less concerned about Derek Jones 10Xing if I don't have him than I am someone like Ishmael.
Yeah. Yeah. And on FanDuel, he's 4,400. That's just like not a priority at all. Also, FanDuel, I promise you, Derek Jones is not shooting guard, small forward eligible. I swear to God, he's not a shooting guard.
What?
Derek Jones is shooting guard, small forward on FanDuel.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Of course. Anything else here?
Nope.
All righty. Time to talk a little bit about the presenting sponsor of this show. That would be Yahoo Sports. And we talk about them a lot. If you guys want to get a free month of Osmo Plus Platinum, you can qualify by being new to Yahoo. You sign up for an account using the link in the description of this video, make a deposit, and play. That's all you got to do. Yahoo will then send us your username after you play in your first paid contest. We will then reach out to you via email with a coupon code. If you need immediate access, just email support@osmo.com. We can get you set up. You can also claim a free $10 of site credit by using that link in the description. That lets you get into any Yahoo contest, including the $150,000 Monday night NFL baller. We've got DFS tools and projections designed specifically for Yahoo on the website to help you out there. And honestly, you want to get in there because you want to be playing in the ballers, not just for Monday night, but you want to be playing in the baller contest every Sunday night. Given the amount of forced overlay they are putting into that contest, it is the best one in the industry. All righty. Anything else here after our Yahoo read, the best sponsor we could hope for?
Nope.
Let's see here. Let's keep it moving then. On to the Cleveland Cavaliers, 7.5-point dogs in Milwaukee, 213.5 total. The only person pulling any ownership is $6,600 Evan Mobley on DraftKings, where he's 11% owned. He's, to me, very clearly, Evan Mobley on DraftKings is the best play for Cleveland. I will certainly have little bits of Garland and Allen and Markkanen because these guys are generally playing 30-plus minutes a game. To me, there are no priorities on Cleveland outside of that Mobley price on DK.
Yeah, I think the Mobley price looks really good. He's averaged just shy of a fantasy point per minute this year. He's back to playing huge minutes, played 37.5 minutes yesterday. They certainly can use him defensively today against Milwaukee. I would expect him to be out there a ton as long as he can avoid foul trouble. He has multi-position eligibility, which is really useful as well. So, yeah, he stands out to me the most there. Rubio's price tag is dropping. You're likely to get 28 to 30 minutes from him. He has upside in tournaments, but certainly not any sort of a priority for me here. Jared Allen and Darius Garland are expensive. They both are capable of putting up massive games, but makes them pretty difficult to get to. So Mobley, I think, pretty clearly the top guy for me from DraftKings.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add here for Cleveland. Not the best spot here going up against Milwaukee either. But we're about to discuss that in a second because the Milwaukee Bucks have a Q tag on someone and he hasn't played in two games. What in the world are we going to do here? Because we got a Q tag on Grayson Allen, a Q tag on Giannis, a Q tag on George Hill. Still no Lopez, no DiVincenzo, no Semi Ojeleye. I'm assuming Giannis plays, but the fact that he actually missed this last one for not playing makes me a little nervous. He's 11K on FanDuel, 11.8 on DraftKings. If he plays, I have a little bit of interest in Giannis as per usual. If he doesn't play, I will be straight jamming Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton in again like I did however many days ago that was, much to no avail. Do you like anybody for Milwaukee if Giannis plays? Because I don't really find them to be very interesting.
I mean, I like Giannis, but
sure.
Other than that, not really, because prices are starting to rise. You've had Giannis out for two games now, which results in Drew Holiday being 8,500, Middleton being 8K, Portis being 7,800, even Pat Connaughton up to 5,200. So it makes it pretty tough to get to any of that if Giannis is in. If Giannis is out, they look good. They still are a lot closer to correctly priced than they were a game or two ago. But if Giannis is in, it makes it really tough. This is definitely a game that just makes me nervous in general, though. Plan on being around your computers until at least, till the end of the night, but at least till 8. Milwaukee has suddenly gotten really bad at injury reporting. Giannis just ruled out of the blue 15 minutes before lock two games ago. Last game, it was Grayson Allen, like 15 minutes before lock or somewhere in there. So just expect something stupid to happen from the Bucks here.
Yeah. Drew Holiday is 7,800 with both eligibilities on FanDuel, 7,500 for Middleton, shooting guard, small forward, 6,800 for Portis, power forward, center. I mean, these are guys that are going to be in like 30%+ of my lineups. If Giannis happens to get ruled out, they're going to be in everything. Just heavy, heavy ownership across the board. Did not work out well for me last time, but you know, my boy Chris Middleton can't continue to shoot 2 for 27 in the first half or whatever terrible number it was.
No, he can. He does it every time I play him.
Yep. I don't know how his aggregates get to where they end up being.
It has to just be like he goes off on like random 1 o'clock island games.
Yeah. Saturday afternoons and shit.
Actual slates.
Saturday afternoon showdowns and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Alrighty. I got nothing else here, so let's move it on to Atlanta Hawks, 1.5-point underdogs in Minnesota, 219 total. For the Hawks, we still have the perpetual Q tag on Cam Reddish. Still no Bogdan Bogdanovich. Solomon Hill is doubtful for Minnesota. Q tag on Beverly, Russell, Towns, Noel. McDaniels is probable, so that helps. On Atlanta, assuming Cam Reddish is in, I think John Collins across both sites, FanDuel and DK, is the best play here. I don't really have any priorities from the Hawks. And if Cam Reddish is out, I probably still don't, although TLC is still the flat minimum on DK.
After playing 39 minutes yesterday.
Yep.
I think he might have scored like 15 fantasy points, but he played 39 minutes.
He had more than you think he did. Oh, he had 25 DraftKings
points.
Oh,
yeah, Yeah, never mind. 12-8.
Which is still not that good.
No, but it's shouldn't lead to you being 3K.
Yeah.
Not saying that, you know, that game that you should inflate the pricing, but the guy's started multiple games now. Why is he going down in salary? Collins looks the best though, coming off a 38-minute game yesterday. He's just still a little bit underpriced here at 7,100. He's around the fantasy point per minute guy. He's likely to play at least 33 or 34 minutes here. So just looks like a good option. Capella is fine as well. Obviously tons of opportunity cost at center. He's not exactly cheap. Means he'll be really low owned. So it's just, you know, an upside play in tournaments. Trey Young's been shooting more, actually just shooting more, getting more assists lately, playing really, really well. So I still think that he's somewhat appealing at 10,200 or 10,300 here, but there's just a lot of other guys in that price range as well. Minnesota, certainly not a bad team. So I don't love Young, but if he's not getting a lot of ownership, I think it is worth noting that his usage rate over his last 10 games is up a couple of points. His assist percentage is up a couple of points. He's one of those guys that early in the year seemed to really be impacted by the new officiating rules and seems to have either figured it out or, you know, refs have kind of moved a little bit closer to what they were doing in the past. You've kind of seen like James Harden, Young, really move to another level over the last, you know, couple of weeks to a month.
Are you changing anything really if Reddish is out, other than the obviously TLC gets more minutes?
More minutes for Gallinari.
Yeah. He's been at 29, 28, 27 over the past three with no Reddish, no Bogdanovich. Even at that, like 4,700 for both, he becomes like a guy you can play instead of a guy you can't play. But
right, exactly.
No priorities. On the Minnesota side, I mean, shrug emoji here.
Sorry. If Reddish plays, by all means, Reddish on DraftKings, 3,200. Yeah. Even if he plays 24 minutes, he has a path to success, and he could certainly play 28.
Yep, I agree. I don't totally know how to address Minnesota right now. No one's getting owned other than 10% owned Anthony Edwards on DK. Anthony Edwards is, to me, the best play in Minnesota if everybody ends up being in. I have everybody in except for Beverly since he's been out. But I don't totally know what to do here. But, you know, like you can always play Towns if he plays. You can always play Russell if he plays. But he's 9,200 now on DraftKings. That's not really the best price tag in the world. Vanderbilt's expensive. Like, there's not a lot here unless you probably lose Towns, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you lose Towns, then you can just go right back to Naz Reid.
Yeah.
And you get, you know, more opportunities for Russell and Edwards as well. If you lose Towns and Russell, Edwards is going to start to look great. He's played 77 minutes without Towns or Russell on the floor this year. So obviously not a huge sample size. 41.4% usage rate for Edwards over those minutes. Just, you know, absurd usage there. The assist percentage is only 18% because who's he going to pass it to? But would be an enormous ceiling for Edwards if those guys are out. And, you know, yeah, so it's kind of, there's not a whole lot you can say right now since we have so many guys that are questionable. But if everybody's in, Towns, Russell, Edwards are all always fine. Edwards would look the best out of the three because he's the least expensive. If you take out Russell, Edwards looks better. If you take out Towns, Reed and Edwards look better. If you take them both out, Edwards looks amazing. Malik Beasley would probably have to start to score that, you know, you would think. Yeah. Naz Reed would look amazing if Towns is out. So just a ton of moving parts here. But with the pricing where it is, I kind of think that you're going to need guys to be out for anything that's looking like a priority.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled for the deeper dive later today at 4:45 because Adam just basically summed it all up as best as you can here. There's no digging into Minnesota until we get more news. San Antonio.
Yeah, also,
go ahead.
I guess can plug this. Greg and I are doing a new video series starting today, basically like a mid-afternoon just injury report type thing where we just go through all of the relevant injuries, talk about who we think is going to, you know, who benefits, who doesn't, whatever, from how things could potentially go. So that'll be out this afternoon. That's actually in place of the deep dive article. We're going to switch over to that. So yeah, it's the first one we're doing. Not exactly sure how it's going to look at this point, but it'll have, you know, a more detailed breakdown of injuries.
Excellent plug. Don't skip that, guys. That's why you should be hitting the like button on this video, subscribing to the channel, and hitting the notification bell. You don't want to miss when that video gets posted. It's going to be good stuff from Greg and Adam. San Antonio Spurs, 7.5-point dogs in Phoenix, 218 total. On the Spurs side, Q-tag on Vassell, Q-tag on Kata Bates, Diop. On the Phoenix end of it, it's just what we know. No Devin Booker. Unfortunately for me and my arguments, Thad Young is now in the rotation for the Spurs in place, but in place of Drew Eubanks, which I didn't, you know, that was the keys. Somebody had to leave it. And apparently it ended up being Drew Eubanks. So there's that. 12% owned Keldon Johnson on FanDuel, 12% owned Jakob Poeltl on DraftKings. Those are the two guys that are getting more than 10% ownership. Those are the two guys that I do have like mild interest in. Clearly getting any DeJounte Murray is not going to break my heart, but I don't love a lot here. And Keldon Johnson's really starting to irritate me. I don't like rostering him because I don't feel like he ever does anything well when I have him.
Yeah, playing so many minutes right now. If Vassell is out again, you know, that helps to solidify those minutes too. But yeah, at his price tag, he looks pretty good here. You know, the Suns are a good team. They're good. They're good defensively. They do play at a fast pace, though. So there should be plenty of possessions in this game. 5,600 for Johnson looks pretty good. 6K for Jakob Poeltl against an opposing center in DeAndre Ayton makes a lot of sense to me. He's likely to play 30 to 32 minutes. Those are the two that stand out the most. Like you said, not going to be upset about getting to any amount of DeJounte Murray. He's been excellent this year. He is finally priced appropriately, though. Derek White still playing big minutes. Again, if you have Vassell out, I think those minutes are even more secure. He hasn't been a great fantasy producer this year, but at 6,500, there's, you know, still, if he's going to play 36 minutes, he looks pretty good. So those are the guys, you know, I think look the best, Johnson and Poeltl being the top two. Thad Young at 3,200, not any sort of a priority, but certainly could beat that price tag. It's just, this is a really weird slate with the bottom end of pricing. It's like DraftKings just like removed the floor. Guys that would normally be like 4K or 3,900 or like 3,100 or 3,200. And it doesn't seem like that big of a difference, but that's like percentage wise, the biggest difference you can have in pricing. So it just makes this slate feel a little bit more stars and scrubby than a lot of the other recent slates that we've had.
Thad Young on a showcase game to see if he's on Phoenix after the trade deadline.
That would be
exactly what they need to. On the Phoenix side, a lot of ownership coming in here on the DraftKings piece. 21% owned DeAndre Ayton at 7,400. 25% owned Cam Payne at 4,100. We could have a conversation about that one shortly. Chris Paul is about 10% across both. Shamit's getting a little bit of love. Bridges is not. And I think it makes me like Bridges the most, but I like Bridges every week and he's been piss poor this season. So what stands out most to you from Phoenix? How do we want to do this?
8,300 for Paul is pretty cheap. We've talked about his production going up a bit without Booker. So no, you know, issues getting to him. DeAndre Ayton at 7,400, I think looks very good. He's likely to play 32 to 34 minutes here. He's over, you know, well over a fantasy point per minute guy in a pretty good spot against San Antonio. So those two really stand out. Cameron Payne at 4,100. We've talked before about, you know, he's extremely good from on a per minute basis. The issue is how many minutes is he going to play alongside Chris Paul? He played 25.8 minutes last game against Golden State. Some of that was garbage time. But you still got a combined 58.2 minutes from him and Paul. Prior to that, you'd been getting around like 54. So, you know, maybe they're moving, at least in that game, they moved a little bit more towards playing them together. Against the Spurs, you could see the same thing. You know, you're talking about DeJounte Murray and Derek White backcourt. No real reason you can't have Paul and Payne out there if you want to. So Payne at 4,100, as long as he's not getting a lot of ownership, makes sense to me in tournaments. I'm not confident enough in the minutes that I would want to go there at high ownership. Right now we have him at 25% on DraftKings. If that holds, I would anticipate being under the field on that and just hoping he plays 22 minutes. I'm not confident it doesn't burn me, because if he plays 26 or 28 minutes, he's going to destroy that salary. But I just don't, I'm not confident enough that he's playing a ton of minutes alongside Paul here. So if this game's competitive, you could still see the 20, 21 minute game from Payne. So paying a lot of attention to his ownership.
I'm with you. That's just too much for, like, it's just going to be one of those days where if he's that owned, that's the spot where you're just trying to dodge it. Like it just stands out so much. What have you been doing? What do you do with Bridges?
I project him for like 38 to 40 minutes and then don't really roster him because somehow he still doesn't look that good at 5,700 in 40 minutes.
It's so crazy, right? I look at it and it's just like, okay, he's 4% owned on FanDuel. He's 1% owned on DraftKings with the best positional designation you can get. And he's like a lock to play 36 minutes or more in this game and somehow still doesn't get rostered. Like, you don't really see that anywhere else, but 0.71 FanDuel points per minute over the last 30 days. I just assume he's going to be better eventually.
Right? He's played 213 minutes without Booker this year. 0.69 DraftKings points per minute, 12% usage rate, 6% rebounding percentage, 7% assist percentage. From a fantasy standpoint, just doesn't really do anything except get steals.
Yeah, there's nothing there. There's just nothing there. I don't know. It's a bummer, though. Anything else here for Phoenix?
No, not really. Crowder, Johnson, or whatever.
All righty. Get ready for this one. One of the late night hammers, the Orlando Magic, 14.5 point underdogs in Golden State, 215 total. On the Orlando side, no Suggs, Isaac, Fultz, Michael Carter-Williams, Etan Moore. On the Golden State side, everybody that normally plays, we have no Clay, no Iggy, no Wiseman. Otto Porter is available. I would not be surprised at all if someone wants to take the early night tonight from Golden State. So keep your eyes peeled for that one.
They play tomorrow.
I don't know. Let me look. If they do, I'm going to be real confident in everything we just said. What's tomorrow? No, they play. They don't. Yeah.
There's only three.
Even still. Yeah. Especially when it's a home game.
Rushing back for this matchup with the Magic.
Yeah. Cole Anthony is 10% owned at 8K on DraftKings. Wendell Carter Jr. is 10% owned on FanDuel at 6,500. I like a bit of Cole Anthony, especially at 3% ownership on FanDuel, but I'm going to have a very hard time wanting to prioritize any specific people from Orlando today.
Yeah, I would like them to be low owned if I'm getting to them, and they are. 8K, Anthony leading the way on DraftKings at 11%. From a ceiling standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. Like if you told me Cole Anthony were like 4 or 5% owned, I would be like, this is one of the best tournament plays on the slate. So I think
3.3 on FanDuel.
What's his price there?
82.
Yeah.
Point guard, shooting guard too. Like I love him in GPPs. If this game's competitive, it pretty much has to be him.
Yeah. I mean, he's played 379 minutes now without Suggs. He's averaged 1.23 DraftKings, 1.16 FanDuel points per minute, has just shy of a 29% usage rate, a 33% assist percentage. So both of those numbers are up without Suggs. There's the risk that he doesn't play full minutes because Golden State is just so, so much better than Orlando. But like you said, there's a very good chance if this game is remotely competitive in the fourth quarter, Cole Anthony is probably having a big game. So I like him. Carter looks fine at 6,900. The salary has come up a bit, but the ownership has also gone down as a result. Only 6% on DraftKings, 4% coming into Bamba. This is a team that I have no confidence whatsoever in, but they do have, you know, just good per minute fantasy options that are somewhat appealing at low ownership in tournaments.
And then we slide it on over to Golden State, the best defense in basketball. Andrew Wiggins is 5,600 on FanDuel. I think that's probably my favorite option in this game. He's just small forward eligible, though. He's 6,500 on DraftKings, so it's not as interesting. Draymond's at 18% ownership, 6,900 on FanDuel, power forward center. Not a ton of ownership coming in elsewhere. I don't really see anybody that I'm like clamoring to have outside of the fact that I do think Wiggins looks pretty good on FanDuel, but it's a tough spot for the Warriors here.
Yeah. I mean, Steph at 11.7 on DraftKings, I would love to get to. I think it's pretty likely this is one of those games where he has 60 fantasy points through three quarters and, you know, then probably doesn't play anymore. But if he does, yeah, you know, like, oh my God, he's going to score a lot. The problem is just he's 11.7, so he's $300 less than Jokic. He's 700 more than Embiid in a great spot. There's a ton of other guys in that 10 to 11 range. So I think it's really tough to really prioritize him, but I will be very happy with whatever amount of stuff I'm able to get to. Green, Poole, Wiggins all look fine. Yeah, that's just, it's a really good spot.
Yeah.
It's just difficult to single out anyone as a really productive fantasy option with the exception of Curry, and Curry is obviously expensive, but they do.
Thoughts on Gary Payton at flat 3K?
I was going to say, I thought that was kind of interesting just because, you know, normally, so we talk about it a lot, you know, people are always like, oh, it's a blowout, let's play the guys off the bench. And that typically is just like really stupid because you're not, you don't get points for randomly being in the closing lineup. Like if you didn't play a lot of minutes in the first half and then you close out the game, you're still not doing well. But Payton is in the rotation anyway. And he's certainly someone where if this game is over after three quarters, I would think that he just plays a little bit more than he otherwise would have. So that's the kind of guy where I'm a little bit more interested. Plus the fact that he's 3K flat. So
my process show chat like lost their minds over Gary Payton. I was like, first of all, guys, we got to pump the brakes at least a little bit here.
What did you say?
My process show chat was like clamoring for Gary Payton in this spot because of the blowout.
Right. He played. So like the issue is he played 13 minutes last game and that was without Otto Porter. He played fewer minutes than Chris Chioza. So that's a problem, but he fits into the category where the minutes between these bench guys on Golden State are always pretty volatile. You got 30.8 minutes from Damian Lee last game. That doesn't have to happen again. You can certainly get more for Payton. He's very, very productive when he's on the floor. If you're going to throw a dart at some random 3K guy and hope that he plays 10 minutes more than his median projection, do it with somebody like Gary Payton that produces really, really well when he's out there.
Yeah. It's one of those where like, and we talk about it a lot. You have to be right that you think it's a blowout. And then you have to be right that Gary Payton gets those minutes. And then you just have to be right that he did something with them too. Right. And it's just like, okay, I got to get all those things right to hit my, to win a Powerball ticket. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, is he the guy, is he the bench guy that I want to take a shot on at a Golden State? Sure. He's the best performing one out of all of them, but like, there's no reason that Bielitsa can't be the guy that plays 20 minutes instead. Like, yeah, there's no telling what Golden State's going to do.
Right. Exactly. It's, if I'm going to someone off Golden State's bench, I would go Payton, not because I think he plays the most minutes on average, just because I think he does the most when he does happen to get more minutes. And he's the most favorably priced. Like, Porter's more expensive. Toscano Anderson's more expensive.
Closing it out, Clippers 2.5-point favorites in Portland, 215 total. On the Portland side, oh, this one just really sucks to have to talk about. On the Portland side, no Dame, no Anthony Simons, Q-tag on Nas Little, CJ McCollum is probable. On the Clippers side, no Nick Batum still. Everything else is normal. So let's talk about the Clippers where Paul George, 8,900 on FanDuel, shooting guard, small forward, 22% owned. Yeah, he should be in a lot of lineups. He's 10-6 on DraftKings. He should be in a lot less than he should be on FanDuel. Reggie Jackson, I think, looks pretty interesting at 5,500 on FanDuel. He is pulling a little bit of ownership. When you play a lot of games across the weekend, things really change, and they played the back-to-back on the third and the fourth. Eric Bledsoe is just not playing the same amount of minutes that he had been playing, which is kind of fascinating to see. Marcus Morris started at the three in this last game with Ibaka and Zubats out there. I don't know what the Clippers are doing right now. So talk to me about what you like here, because I think they look terrible on DraftKings.
So do I. The only really interesting thing to me, I mean, so George is fine. You know, if you can get to Paul George, go for it. But what's really interesting to me is Ibaka started both games of the back-to-back. He played 29 minutes against the Lakers. He played about 12.5 minutes in the first half against the Kings and then did not play in the second half. I don't know if that was just planned rest on a back-to-back. I don't know if at halftime the Clippers decided this is stupid, we're not doing this anymore. I don't know. But if Ibaka starts tonight, I think it's likely that he goes back to 26 minutes or so at 3,400. The issue is on DraftKings, he's only a center, so that sucks. But he's 3,400. He's not going to have ownership, I don't think. He didn't have ownership last slate, and then things only got even murkier. So kind of interesting to me, just in the sense of he could start again and play 26 to 28 minutes at $3,400. I have no real confidence in what that looks like, but it's interesting. Outside of that, though, you know, Jackson at 6,200, Morris at 4,900, they're fine. Certainly nothing I'm going out of my way to get to. Bledsoe coming off the bench has really cut into his minutes. I don't see a whole lot here outside of the obvious Paul George is good and the Serge Ibaka is intriguing because I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, that's when I looked at it, I was just like, oh, is popcorn machine wrong? This just feels like we put a six starter on type joint because like I could not figure it out. I was like, all three of those guys could conceivably start at center today. One of them's at small forward, but they all didn't play. Like, so that it was Morris at the three, Ibaka at the four, Zubats at the five. But if you total up Zubat's minutes, Hartenstein's minutes, Morris's minutes, and Ibaka's minutes, they still don't even fill all of the minutes that would cover the four and the five. And that's when my mind was blown. Like, I just assumed the total would be like 100 and something, and it was 88. I was like, so they started these guys alongside each other, and they still didn't get there to cover everything at the four and five? This stupid team. Well, time to talk about it. It is December 6th, 2021, and Dennis Smith Jr. at 5K and 5,300 is one of the better plays you're going to find today. And that's kind of a bummer to me. I like him a lot across both sites. I like him more on FanDuel than I do on DraftKings. Although on FanDuel, he's 38% owned. On DraftKings, he's only 17. That's problematic to me. CJ looks fantastic on FanDuel at 8,100. He's 9K on DraftKings. Norm Powell is going to look a lot better. He's about 16% owned. We don't know the status yet on Naz Little. If he is in, it probably makes the rest of Portland not all that interesting. If he's out, we open up even more minutes here. But talk to me about Dennis Smith Jr. What up, Fayetteville?
He looks like a good value. He's at least like at 5,300. This is kind of like we were talking about with this Smith. I think Dennis Smith is a very, very good value here. He's a very good play. There are at least other guys around him that can beat him. Tyus Jones at, I think it was 5,600, is one that comes to mind. But there's no shortage of guys in the like 5K to $5,600 range that, you know, if you just basically I get to take the field and you take Dennis Smith Jr., I think I'm coming out ahead a high percentage of the time. So it's at least a spot where I'll pay attention to his ownership. Well, you know, the total ownership of my lineup. And, you know, if I have a lower owned lineup, I'll go to Smith. If I need a lower owned guy because I have a chalky lineup, I'm not afraid to get away from it. All that said, 17% on DraftKings right now isn't even that much ownership. We haven't gotten a huge sample size of him alongside McCollum this year without Lillard, only 65 minutes, but he's produced 0.96 DraftKings points per minute over that time, 21% use assist percentage, 15.6% usage rate. You should also expect him to be on the floor whenever McCollum is off.
So they staggered them 100% this last game.
Yeah, that was my expectation going in, and that's what they did. He's played. That's not what I wanted to do. Taking Dennis Smith Jr. off does not show me Dennis Smith Jr.'s minutes.
It doesn't.
Without Lillard or McCollum, he's played 109 minutes. He's at 1.04 DraftKings points per minute. Assist percentage is almost 33%. Usage rate is about 22%. So you can expect him to get, what, like 10 minutes without McCollum. He's probably going to play around 34 to 36 minutes. So call it 30% of his minutes without McCollum. And then, you know, the other 70% alongside him. So he looks like a very good value here. There are alternatives that you can look to, especially if his ownership comes up, but he looks good.
Yeah. You know, we're talking like a fantasy point per minute and basically every minute that he can handle in theory in a competitive game. Right. It's going to look good. I hate it. I don't want any part of it. I'm going to listen to a lot of J. Cole today just to try to get myself psyched up for it. But that's the best that I can do for today. What do we do with CJ, though?
1.11 DraftKings points per minute without Lillard this year. 9K is healthy. I think it's kind of just where he should be. A lot of my interest in McCollum is going to end up depending on how news elsewhere breaks. Like, if everybody's in for Minnesota, McCollum relatively ends up looking better. But, you know, if you were to take out D'Angelo Russell, I would much rather play $8,100 Anthony Edwards. Just, you know, one example off the top of my head. The Miami game, if Butler is in, Butler looks good, but it knocks back guys like Hero and Lowry. If you take Butler out, I'm allocating a lot of exposure to Tyler Hero and Kyle Lowry at, you know, lower prices than McCollum. You have Chris Paul at 8,300. You have Ish Smith taking up a guard spot in every single lineup, most likely. So there's still upside here, but the price has adjusted. I think I'm a lot more interested in the cheaper pieces here. Dennis Smith Jr., Norman Powell, 5K flat at small forward looks fine. Nurkic looks fine at 7,100. I think it's going to be easier in particular to get to Smith and Powell than it is to get to McCollum.
Any final thoughts here?
No.
Hell of a slate. 10 gamer, 10 up, 10 down. Adam, you're not going anywhere. In 8 minutes, you're going to be coming back to do the NFL Strategy Show Week 13 Recap Edition, where you guys can take a nice look at how you won $100,000 yesterday, which is probably going to be incredibly satisfying to do. So enjoy that. I know that was not the only big wins we had at Osimo over this weekend. I know Alex was at the top of one contest because I saw your response to that. You both sort of pushed down whistles to the number two spot. And then somebody flew in with whistles winning 100K and something else. So
no, a million. He won.
He won $1 million. Of course he did.
Yeah.
The whistles do tend to go woo, apparently. Anything else here on this slate, Adam?
No, just a reminder that me and Greg will have our video out this afternoon at some point. We're recording it at like 1:30, so I don't know how long it's going to take. I assume it'll be out by like 2:30 or 3 or something.
There we go. And then you'll be back for the deeper dive at 4:45.
Yep.
There it is, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Hit that like button on your way out the door. 600 plus people in here. If we can get to 200 before we sign off, that would be awesome. Good luck. Thank you to Yahoo for being the presenting sponsor. You know where we'll be. Right back here again tomorrow, 10 a.m. 3-game slate. So Adam and I are going to stretch it. Good luck.